Good morning and welcome to In Focus. I'm Paul Gleiser sitting in for John Sims, and it's another special edition of In Focus driven by the fact that we have these extraordinary conditions that have been brought about by the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic and the impact that that is having on our daily lives and just about everything we do. Our guests this morning are John Hart. He's a principal at Source Funding, an organization that helps businesses find funding. And we have Don Proudfoot. He's the director of the Small Business Development, an SBA-funded grant, as I understand it, Don.
Yes, part of it's funded by SBA and also state government and also TJC local.
You gentlemen are both in the business of helping small businesses get the funding they need in order to succeed. Is that a correct assessment?
I call myself the entrepreneur's cheerleader.
Very good.
Because I work with entrepreneurs for 40 years.
And our main business is putting loan deals together, business plans for clients at no charge to them, so they can go to the bank. That's the main thing we do.
All right, gentlemen, appreciate both of you being here this morning. There is no way to overestimate the impact that the COVID-19 outbreak and the resulting essential shutdown in the American economy has had on small businesses. It has been profound, and there's not a human alive that has any experience with anything like this. This is something none of us has ever experienced before, and I, as a small business owner, hope and pray never to experience again, because this is an amazing time in our history, and it is impacting us in ways we couldn't even begin to imagine. So, John, I'm going to start with you. You know, the president and the Congress worked more or less together in a way that we're kind of not used to, just passed a $2.2 trillion package that includes a lot of relief for small businesses. Can you just in summary form tell us what's available now as a result of that legislation to help small businesses?
I certainly can. The last act got approved Friday by Congress. We spent all weekend reading the regs and preparing to take applications on the Payroll Protection Plan. The first loan that was approved about 2 weeks ago, and it's the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. That is administered by the Disaster Division of SBA, and the same loan officers review those loan applications that review applications for floods and fires and hurricanes and tornadoes. So it's a very subjective application. It's simple, so most borrowers can complete that themselves online and submit it either online or by email to SBA Disaster Office. We are taking...
What's available? How much can you borrow?
You basically have to prove up your economic injury. So you look at you get with your accountant or bookkeeper or whatever, and look at how the virus has impacted your business financially. And you make a case for how much your business has been impacted from a monetary standpoint now and over the next 4 to 6 months, and you tell SBA what your impact is. Generally speaking, they will provide relief on your operating expenses that are not covered by your income, maybe because your restaurant closed or something like that. And then you can get up to 4 to 6 months of operating expenses through that loan. That is a direct loan from SBA. A lender is not involved in that. And once you get approved for that, the money is funded by the federal government. It becomes a 10-year loan. There are no payments on that loan for the first year. But after the first year, payments start over a term to be determined based upon your cash flow and ability to service the debt on that loan. And the rate is 3.75% for businesses and 2.75% for nonprofits. So neat thing about both of these loans, and I'll talk about PPP in just a moment, is that nonprofits can participate. That means you can get a loan for your church. You can get a loan for your daycare center. Get a loan for your charity organization.
Right.
So it's a great thing. So most of those loans, the borrower can complete themselves. But if they do need assistance, I refer them to Don, and the Small Business Development Center to for assistance.
Well, let me ask you a question that may seem a bit arcane to anyone who's not not in business, is not dealing with bank borrowing. What are the implications of borrowing money if you already have a lender in place who has a senior position?
This is non-secured.
Okay.
No personal guarantees, and it stands on its own. It does not matter. No collateral.
Okay.
And so these are unsecured, uncollateralized, unguaranteed loans.
Okay, so the if you already have a bank loan, for example, if you're in business, you have a bank loan, you're not hurting the position of your
no.
banker's collateral.
Not at all. In fact, you're helping your banker
because you're providing cash flow. Okay, so you're not going to run into covenant problems and all those sorts of things.
No.
Okay, all right. That makes some sense. It's the government. How yeah. Byzantine is the process of approval and getting the money out? Because you have exigent need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I made an SBA application one time years ago. It took 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have 6 months. Most businesses don't have 6 months.
Don, we don't know the answer to that for sure, but I have borrowers that applied for the EIDL loan last week, and they've gotten a response from SBA that they've received their application, and it's in processing. I have not talked to any of my borrowers that have received the money yet, but a number of them are in processing. The PPP loan is a different story, and I'll talk about that.
And let's watch acronyms so that we can understand what they mean. So that let's be sure we know what we're talking about. And Don, you were going to say something.
On the economic injury loan, we put together a little spreadsheet that helps figure out what John's talking about, that 4 to 6 month, projecting what kind of loss you'd have. And we set it up just for that. So like a restaurant can take it, put in their cost of goods for food, cost of goods for labor, put in their fixed costs, and then make some projections across that 4 to 6 month. It's just a little help tool that we can send to them.
I think the unknowable thing is how long are revenues going to be suppressed? It's hard to know what your damage is.
Well, one of the things about this economic injury loan, I think, John, is you can go back if you run out of money. You can go back to them with your case because nobody does really know.
That's right.
Yeah,
just keep in mind that the last one got approved Friday, and we got regs Saturday, and actually we got regs for that program on Wednesday. And so we're just now in a position to help banks apply for that loan. So the next loan, and one other thing about the economic injury disaster loan, there is a $10,000 loan that you can apply for and get immediately. And a lot of people are applying for that $10,000. It does not impair your ability to go after the larger program, which is the Payroll Protection Program.
Okay.
It's called the PPP or the CARES Act.
Okay.
So the PPP loan is made through a bank, and the bank collects your information. And what you can get on the PPP loan is you figure your average monthly payroll cost, and you can get 2.5 times that average monthly payroll cost in a loan. That loan can be, and probably most cases will be, forgiven if the money that you get on the loan are expended with certain qualifying expenditures, and those are salaries, wages, contract labor, interest, rent, and utilities. If the money's spent on that, the federal government will forgive those amounts spent on the next 8 weeks of operations of the business.
Do you have to prove that you are in exigent need, that you're in trouble, or can you apply for this loan in the anticipation that you might be in trouble depending on how long this shutdown goes?
Now, as long as you will certify that your business has been injured by the coronavirus issue, you can apply. You can still be in business. You can still be paying payroll. But you can still apply.
Yes, sir.
And John, we've got that application where we can send it out to anybody that wants it. And when he says certify, you're basically checking a box that you understand that.
Yeah.
You're basically making representation to the government, signing it under penalty of perjury. So it's like any other application.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. That's correct. And that application is fairly simple. It's about a 2-page application. and you can do it fairly quickly, and then there's some things you need to do to back up what you said.
As I understand it, with respect to that loan, it's pretty simple for just about any business to do. You fill out the application. I've seen the form, and you're right, it is very simple. Unlike the SBA application I made 15 years ago
That's
as a
correct.
Business owner, it was enormously complex. This is very simple. And as I said, they wanted a year and a quarter's worth of IRS Form 940s
That's
and 941s,
correct.
your payroll tax filings.
Yeah.
Is there some other documentation?
Well,
our company is assisting banks on this, and just like any bank loan, the bank wants documentation on everything that you represent in there. They want your payroll reports. They want
those are the 940s and the 941s.
Well, and they want your number of employees. They want your employee headcount. When they start getting reimbursement, we'll have to have proof of the rent, of the payroll that's been paid, of the utilities. So there's two parts to this. One is getting it approved up front. One is applying for forgiveness of that debt after 8 weeks of operations, after you received your money.
Okay. But and then who is authorized to approve the loan? The bank, or does it have to go to the SBA to be approved?
The bank is given delegated authority to approve the credit of that business. However, they have to submit an application to SBA electronically that addresses all of the eligibility issues. So the SBA will review that, and they'll give them approval back electronically to fund those funds. The money comes from the bank, but the bank gets reimbursed by gets guaranteed by the federal government.
So is the bank the lender?
The bank is the lender.
Okay, so there then, and what is the repayment schedule? Well, you say it could be forgiven, but nominally, what is the repayment schedule?
There's an automatic 6-month deferments on payments. The loan is for 2 years.
Okay.
At 0.5%. Good rate, isn't it?
That's a good rate.
Yeah.
But how big is this pile of money? Well, we're going to have more applications than there is pile of money to fund it.
$350 billion has been approved in the CARES Act.
Okay.
We don't know how long that's going to last. Heard one bank in Dallas estimated that the funds would last 5 days, but I have no idea. But I believe that if they run out of money on this program, Congress will re-up and provide more money, because the businesses really do need the help.
Well, and you know, I'm of course on radio stations here, and our revenue is from businesses who advertise. And we're hearing their stories. You know, we know the principals, and you know, across all kinds of business classifications, all sizes of business here in businesses here in East Texas, and the need is profound, because in some cases their revenues have literally dropped to zero.
Yes, absolutely,
they've dropped to zero. They have no revenue, and so what they're operating on is their cash and their receivables, if they have any. And in a lot of cases, with respect to accounts receivable, those receivables have stopped because they're the people that owe them money,
because they can't pay it.
Aren't paying the money. So
yeah,
your receivables, which nominally part of your working capital, may not in actuality exist.
Right.
Well, John, don't you think that's why that economic injury loan with the $10,000, you know, immediate, is really helpful to kind of bridge that gap? Because there's a lot of people, just like Paul's saying, they're out of cash.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I guess the thing that I would want to talk about here for anybody who's listening, that, and if you don't own a business, it doesn't mean that you're not interested in this, because in some way or another, you are affected by somebody who does. You know, you derive your income from somebody who owns a business, or you have a son or a daughter who works for somebody who owns a business. If businesses can't operate, then the things that you count on for daily life won't be available to you.
That's exactly right. I'm hearing so many stories. I'm on the phone all day, every day right now, and hearing so many stories from so many small businesses about crying about laying their employees off. And just it's devastating to a small business.
Now, that's an important thing you raise with respect to the payroll protection, the PPP, as it's called. You can't lay people off.
Well, you can lay people off, and many have laid people off. But as an incentive to hire them back, If they hire them back prior to June 30th, SBA does not count that against the business, and they can still get reimbursed for those salaries.
Okay. So if out of an abundance of caution you laid somebody off for fear you couldn't pay them, you could then rehire them.
You get your loan, then you rehire your employees, and you can get that.
So you're not going to be penalized for something that you did without the knowledge that there was going to be relief. Okay.
No.
That's an important aspect.
The other thing is you can't apply for both of these loans. It's just one or the other. Except for the emergency $10,000, you can apply for that and still get the payroll protection program. But SBA also put a caveat in there that if you went ahead and applied for the economic injury loan and were approved for that prior to, I think it's March 31st, mm-hmm. I'm not sure, that you can roll that into the other loan that has subsequently been approved.
Okay.
So they're making a lot of concessions here.
And the economic injury loan, they've really streamlined it since a week ago. And that's the one where you can check that box for that $10,000 grant, which will come fairly quickly. But that only takes a few minutes to fill out. It's all online.
Okay, and it's SBA.gov, and I would guess that all of these things are right at the top of their right at the top of their homepage.
SBA.gov/disaster.
Okay.
Takes them right to the application.
Well, gentlemen, let me ask you kind of a 30,000-foot question. Mm-hmm. For a business that's been operating successfully, that's been in business and has history, and things have been going along more or less copacetic for, you know, however long, particularly in this really, really great economy we were enjoying up until 3 weeks ago.
Amen.
now that this has befallen us, what global advice do you give to the small business owner to try to get through this?
Well, these loan funds are available, and access these funds. Don't feel bad about accessing these funds. I'm a staunch conservative, and I don't believe in government handouts. In fact, I wasn't in favor of the last stimulus bill that the United States put out there.
So you're talking about back in 2009
to that. But I am in favor of this one because it directly impacts everybody in the country. So the small business, it's a good time, especially if he's shut down or scale back. It's a good time for them to sit down, get with a trusted advisor or somebody like Don at the Small Business Development Center, and map out a game plan for what happens to their business after this crisis is over. Because it's going to take a number of businesses months, if not years, to get back up to the speed that they were with this booming economy before the virus.
Let me ask you this. If you're a small business owner and you apply for the emergency, tell me what it stands for?
Economic injury, disaster loan.
Okay, you apply for that. Now you're a business, you were already carrying debt, you've now layered more debt on top of it.
Yeah, now this is a 30-year, and it's 3.75%, which is a very low payment. I think it runs somewhere between $4 and $5 per thousand on that loan if it's at 30 years.
Up to 30 years.
Yeah, up to 30.
SBA is going to look at your cash flow after normalization and determine what the term of that is, but it can go up to 30 years.
And there's no prepayment penalties, I believe.
In other words, the SBA is doing everything they can to minimize the impact of additional leverage on a business that could withstand any additional leverage before this happened.
That's correct.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And I think people have to think about, you know, go after the loans. There's so much uncertainty. If you don't need it, just say, I don't want it, whenever they offer it to you. Just say, hey, things have changed, I'm okay. Or you can also prepay it. There's no prepayment penalty.
Is there anything wrong with taking the funds, putting them on your balance sheet, parking them there, making sure you're good, and then just turning around and saying, well, it turned out I didn't need it? And
No, because
it depends on the program, okay?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
On the EID loan, you get the money. You're expected to spend that money to cover your economic loss, okay?
But wouldn't your economic loss be defined as your inability to pay the bills unless you had the loan?
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that's what you're proving up when you apply for that.
Okay.
On the PPP, if you don't spend that money, then you don't get any of the loan forgiven. Okay? So.
Yeah, but money's fungible. It goes into your checking account.
Yeah.
And you already had money in your checking account.
Yeah.
So then you just have to prove that you went ahead and paid people that you were going to try to pay anyway.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, anything you pay on payroll, rent, utilities, or interest reimbursed.
Again, so there's no downside to taking this money in, putting it on your balance sheet, paying your bills the way you normally did. Come to find out, God bless you, we didn't really wind up needing it so badly.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one more provision of the payroll protection program.
Okay.
Anything that you get in the form of a loan that is not forgiven by paying expenses over the next 80 days remains a loan, and that loan is a two-year loan. First 6 months, you don't make any payments. After 6 months, you start making payments. Two-year loan at one-half of 1% interest.
Okay, so
cheap money.
Yeah, okay, it's very cheap money, and you know, you would guess if you're getting the funding based on a multiple of payroll, that a high percentage of it's going to be used on payroll.
Absolutely. In fact, 75% of it has to be used for payroll.
Okay, so you know, the chances are for most businesses, substantially all of that loan is just going to wind up as a cash infusion.
That's right.
With no backside
with
downside.
No repayment.
No repayment. So it's just a cash infusion courtesy of the taxpayers of the United States.
Yeah.
Right.
Which, you know, I hate to say, I'm averse to saying it's from the government, because it's not from the government, because the government has no money of its own.
That's right.
It's from us.
It's from us. It's all of us.
We all want to help those small business owners.
Well, and let's talk about the implications. You know, people that listen to this radio station know what kind of where I stand politically, because I put it out there in a very visible way.
And I appreciate you doing that.
And so, so let's get past the fact that, you know, that it is money from the government. It is, you know, it is collectivizing a problem. Mm-hmm. How do we square that with our belief that we don't collectivize things in a capitalist economy?
This is an emergency situation, just like a war, just like a flood, just like a hurricane. And the U.S. responds to emergencies with manpower, with dollars, and with programs. And that's the same as this is that we're talking about today. The U.S. government has responded to an emergency that would devastate the country should they not step in and provide funding for these small businesses.
And we say small business. Let's get that definition. What is a small business for purposes of qualifying for these funds?
For the purpose of the payment protection program, it's any business that has less than 500 employees.
Okay, so an awful lot of businesses.
Yeah.
Awful lot of businesses. And let's just get down to the nuts and bolts. If somebody listening is a small business owner, know somebody who is, want to begin taking advantage of this, what are the specific steps? What do you need to do?
It's two programs, so there's two specific steps.
Okay.
If you are interested in the economic injury disaster loan, go to sba.gov/disaster. And there's an application waiting for you there. If you need assistance in completing that application, you'll call the Small Business Development Center, Don Proudfoot or Shirley Jarman, and they will assist you in preparing that application.
Give me a web address for the Small Business Development Center.
Okay, it's TylerSBDC.com.
TylerSBDC for Small Business Development Center. TylerSBDC.com. Mm-hmm.
And our number is 903-510-2975. And we will send you out a packet on both of these programs, how to calculate it, what each one is, some information, how to simplify this paycheck protection plan so you can understand it. And local lenders that can do this, because it needs to be an SBA lender that has a 750 agreement, with the SBA, 750 agreement. And we've got a phone list. You know, we've got a list of phone numbers so you can call SBA, so you can message them, and also websites up there, and where you apply for this economic injury loan, the very streamlined one, which is very quick to do, and we recommend you look at that and think about it. And John, what else you got?
For the payroll protection program, it's a different path. You go to your local bank, because your local bank has to submit your application to SBA.
It has to be an SBA-approved bank, correct?
Yes, it has to be a bank that has an agreement with SBA that can make loans.
Is that some banks, most banks, all banks? What likelihood is that your bank has that agreement?
I cannot answer that question. A lot of banks do. Our company assists banks in preparing these loans. So we are working now for 5 Tyler banks. But I think there's a lot more than that doing this loan. Some of them are going to have internal staff help with the loans. Some of them are going to outsource the preparation of these, gathering of the data, preparation of the application to companies like ours. So we're working with 5 banks right now.
It's probably, again, we're not going to get into the business of promoting specific banks here, mm-hmm. but then if it's a bank whose name instantly comes to your mind, it's one of the brand name banks, chances are they're an SBA bank.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
That's
yes.
right.
Okay, so the big banks whose billboards you see, whose names you know, that you say, oh, yeah, that's mm-hmm. a bank, that's probably an SBA-approved bank. But
that's
right. Easy enough to find out.
So you go to
your banker and you say, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. What documentation can you pull together now that will help get it done?
Well, we'll send you that packet. We'll have the application, that 2-page application. You take that, call your banks, and just email it to them. They'll put you on the list, and they'll ask for a few more pieces of documentation that they'll have to back it up.
Okay.
Since this is a bank loan and we are working for banks, we are requiring corporate charter and bylaws and, you know.
The stuff that you would have to have for any loan.
Yeah, all the things for any loan, yeah.
Okay.
So we're collecting that and reviewing that for the banks, and we're also helping the borrower and reviewing the borrower's work on calculating number of employees, calculating total payroll. Because there's some changes in the payroll that you have to make. You can't include payroll in your business on your payroll list above $100,000. So if somebody's making $250,000, they're counted as $100,000.
Okay, so they're capped at $100,000. They're not excluded, just capped at $100,000.
Right. Okay. Right. So, and there are various ways to account for payroll and payroll employees. On the 940 form, on the 941 form, and on your W-3 that you submit when you send in W-2s for your employees. So we help maneuver through that process. And we pretty much make sure on behalf of the bank that the loan is well documented when they submitted it to SBA.
Okay. And your bank's going to have that because they can't get themselves guaranteed. They can't move forward if they don't have all those things. So you're going to have to, there's going to be some homework, and anytime you're asking people to give you money, there's going to be some homework.
Yeah. So I have clients right now that have done an amazing job of putting together everything we need and putting it in a zip file and sending it to us, and it's ready to go to the bank. We have other clients that have multiple emails asking questions and
right.
wondering what documents we need and things like that. It's all over the board.
Well, so just to, if you're listening to this and you want to start getting yourself pulled together, you're going to need your IRS 940 and 941 forms. Those are forms, if you're in business, you should know about because you do your payroll taxes.
W-3.
You're going to need, chances are you're going to need your corporate charter and your bylaws.
Yeah.
So you need to pull that together.
Income
statements and balance sheets, are those going to be necessary?
No, we're just asking for a trailing 12-month P&L because we want the lender, especially if they don't bank the borrower, to see that the borrower is solvent.
Okay.
So we want to prove that up.
Okay.
Then things like driver's licenses. There's no personal guarantees, but we still got to
right.
put the owners on the application.
Right. So the best scenario is you're already banking at a bank that's an SBA lender, so they already know you, and the whole lot of the things that they would have to ask, they already know.
Yeah.
And then you just simply give them the additional documentation that they need.
Yeah.
So, but you need to move quickly. We've got about 30 seconds left. Don, anything else to add to this?
Well, just call us, 903-510-2975. If you got any questions on any of this, we can help you calculate your losses. We'll send you a spreadsheet to work on that, and we'll help you through it. But just call and ask. Don't just wonder about it. Call us.
Yeah.
We'll be glad to help.
I'm not going to give you our contact information because we're going to be totally overwhelmed, but we work for particular banks. So go to your bank. If it's a bank that we work for, I'll take it and run with it for there.
Gentlemen, we appreciate it. A special edition of InFocus. John Hart, Don Proudfoot, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Don.